Hi everyone, this is Talking Shop, the podcast for anyone who is serious about growing their business online. I'm one of your hosts, Waldo, and every week Leo and myself will be joined by guest speakers where we'll be discussing topics about anything and everything related to the world of commerce. So sit back, relax, and let's talk shop.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. This is Talking Shop. I am your host, Waldo. I'm alone here today. Leo can't make it. Unfortunately, me and him have been sharing a bit of a bug off late, or taking turns at the same one. We're super pumped. I don't know what day of the week it is that you're listening to this, but it's Friday afternoon. Summer feels like, or spring feels like it's in the air anyway. And we're really amped to have one of our partners on board to talk a little bit about search, personalization, merchandising, product discovery, and a whole ton of other stuff, which I'm going to leave to him to explain to you guys more. But without further ado, I'd like to introduce Alex Leslie, Director of Sales for Klaviyo.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
No problem. Welcome on board. Yeah, so you're in New Zealand at the moment. You're not here all the time?
No, I've been making more of an effort with New Zealand.
Perfect.
Been speaking to a few customers of ours,
yes,
and also agencies. And they've been telling me that New Zealand seems to get left to the side sometimes.
Always.
People aren't always making
an effort. And people cry about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been, trying to make more of an effort within New Zealand and, coming out here, seeing some of our clients, also, talking to some prospects as well.
Awesome. Nice.
And just, generally coming and seeing partners. And I was just recently at an event as well this week in Christchurch.
Retail Fest. Yeah, it was a lot of people who went down there. How did you find it?
Yeah, it was really good. We had a booth there. A lot of foot traction.
Yeah.
Some good talks as well.
Around
GA4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
interesting.
That was one that I wanted to listen to and get a bit more detail around, because I know when I'm talking to some of my clients, they're kind of curious around that. So
nice.
Not only, of course, working for Klaviyo, but it's also good to have knowledge within the market and what's going on, and understanding also, so you can also help with the consulting side of things as well. So
I hear a lot of people, because kind of the event is kind of built around the sort of talks and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many of those talks you actually attended yourself, because what I heard was a lot of the people were actually in the talks weren't too many people wandering around the different booths while the talks were going on.
Yeah, it was quite good. So what they did is the two talking rooms were actually within the space of the event. Mm. So when people came out, when they were having coffees, lunch and that type of thing, that's where we got the opportunity to chat to people. And it was also quite nice to see how curious people were, because, as a head of e-commerce, or if you're working, within all these different types of areas, I feel like everyone should, be making an effort to see what's out there and what's on the market, even just for educational purposes.
Yeah.
But I do understand from their perspective, if you are at these events, there's a lot of salespeople just being salesy.
Yeah.
Where I don't really like to take that approach.
Nice.
I just want to, educate, let people know what we do and how we can help. And it's up to them if it's an interest, right?
Well, if the product fits, then the sale should be just a consequence. So very, very similar in our approaches as well, where, when I was in my early sales career, I don't want to say you force things down people's throat, because no one ever does that. But, you frame it in such a way that it's going to fit them. But then you're also like, okay, cool, can we have a decision now? Because, I've got these targets to hit. And the minute you have that, you just run into massive dramas. You could still have it, but if you've done all the consultation up front, the sale just come naturally afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like when people are selling, they think around themselves a lot and what they're actually selling, rather than the key area of understanding what that customer would like, or prospect rather.
Yeah.
That's really big for me.
Well, I know all the merchants listening definitely want to sell, so we'll definitely get to that. But just for those people, maybe just give us a little bit of an intro to who you are. I hear there's a little bit of an accent there, and then we could sort of talk a little bit more about Klaviyo specifically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, should have probably started with that.
No, good.
So I'm Alex. I've worked for Klaviyo for the past 4 years, predominantly within the London office in the UK, but also working with Amir. I actually have a big background in retail. Mm. I used to work in retail for around 7 years when I was younger.
Okay.
And then I got into the software world. Yeah. So I actually worked for a financial tech company. And from working there, it was amazing, but I really had that buzz for e-commerce due to having that retail background as well. So I thought it was a good area to get into because I'm kind of harnessing the retail world and also the software world and kind of bringing that to the online world, I suppose. Awesome, so
it's very similar to me, actually. Funnily enough, I spent about 6 years in retail for telco company Vodafone. And then, I went more into the corporates, the business-to-business side of it, like B2B, working with larger accounts. But I got really bored really quickly. And then websites sort of came up and, I found my feet just with like normal service-based websites. But then around 2012, like e-commerce became more like a must-have. And the rest is history. So that's awesome. So how long have you lived in Australia for? Because you live in Australia, do you?
Currently in Sydney. Just been around here for 7 months now.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. And Klaviyo's based there as well.
Yeah,
how many of you are in the Australia space, or shall I say ANZ space?
So within ANZ, I've got a business development manager underneath me. But then also as well, we're currently hiring and expanding in the region. So a couple of roles up for grabs as well, which we're looking forward to getting on board, and we're excited about.
Awesome. Well, if you're out there and you're listening to this and this perks your interest, jump on LinkedIn and look for Alex, and you might have a little bit of a chance there. We'll put your CV forward. So representing Klaviyo, not Klaviyo, guys, for those merchants out there, it's not Klaviyo, it's Klaviyo. We will touch on a little bit of Klaviyo in a little bit, but for those who've been living under a rock or just aren't familiar with this type of technology, tell us a bit about what it is.
Absolutely. So what Klaviyo is a product discovery suite. So what does that mean? Predominantly, we started back out in 2013, and we wanted to create an e-commerce centric site search whereby it's solely for e-commerce and our algorithms are built towards the e-commerce vertical. And what was really big for us, and we're a very product-led company, is that we were listening to a lot of our client feedback. And with having such great success with our smart search, they were asking us, are we going to be doing anything with category merchandising? Are we going to be doing anything with recommendation and harnessing that algorithm towards these two different types of products? So what we have actually come out with now is a product discovery solution whereby we harness personalization and machine learning across all three different areas. So search, category merchandising, and recommendations. Also, as well, I think the key thing to mention here is that single point of data, understanding the different components and how customers interact with them. So I'll put it in a different perspective for you, because it's always nice to tell stories around these things. Smart search is essentially where high intent buyers come to shop. So they know what they're looking for. They go onto the search aspect. People talk in various different ways and search in various different ways. So we want to understand that user. And we want to be able to cater for that user no matter how they speak or where they're from. And they can make sure that they're finding the product that they're looking for. But it's a bit like when I used to work in a retail shop called Huds, which was street fashion back in the day. And what was big for us, because we were an independent store, we really wanted to pick up on that customer information when they came in. So if we look at when the high intent buyers came into store, which would be the smart search, they used to come up to me and ask me questions. You know, where is this product? I'm looking for XYZ. It could be a hoodie, for example. And then when I'm walking them through the store, that's the category merchandising. So the merchandising of the store. And because of I'm picking up on all of that information and asking them questions around what they're actually looking for, when I'm walking through the store, I can point different clothing out to them that they'll be interested in. So that's kind of like the personalization in store, right? And then when we get to that product, that's where the recommendation module comes in, right? So if I'm in store, I've picked up on all of that relevant information, you know, what type of brands they like, what different price points they're looking to, you know, pay. You know, maybe they want even different types of materials, maybe, you know, different colors, for example. So when I got to the product, that's when I'd start to point out the tracksuit bottoms that go with the hoodie, for example. So essentially what that product discovery suite is doing is, from that single point of data, we're really harnessing the power and understanding from a one-to-one level what that user is interested in, so we can start to recommend and show products throughout that customer journey, which is really important. Because you wouldn't, you know, if you were using, I suppose, disparate systems that aren't talking to each other, you're not going to be picking up on all of them data points for that good customer satisfaction and journey. So that's just like, I suppose, a bit of a story around it rather than your...
I love it. I love it because essentially what you're saying is Klaviyo is like a retail salesperson, a knowledgeable retail salesperson, but for your website.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's
nothing worse than getting to a website and then, especially, I know your guys' sort of sweet spot is like very sort of lots of different categories, lots of different products, right? Because if you had three products on your website, you're not really going to want a product discovery suite,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's there's nothing worse than getting to a website, knowing what you're looking for, but you can't find it, but you know they have it. Either the search is not making, you know, or you're making an error in the search, or the way the categories are laid out, you know, it's a little ambiguous and you just like have to find it. It's like walking into a retail store where the shit's just basically chucked on tables and you've got to start looking through different colors to find the blue medium long sleeved, you know, and you're just making a mess out of a mess. That's the best way I've ever heard anyone describe this type of product is... Yeah, just
cheers.
I love it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's cool what you said there as well around, you know, it's work somebody like on store working on site.
Yeah.
And also Clayview isn't, you know, getting drunk on a Friday or a Thursday. you know,
I love that. Yeah. So, they're there all the time, 24/7 working.
24/7, yeah. So of course, like when we look at, and I think it's the perspective here as well of, you know, when we're talking to certain prospects or clients, et cetera, you know, these products do come at a cost, but I think the, you know, especially if you've got a lot of brick and mortar stores, for example, you're paying, you know, each member of your staff a certain amount each month to work for you.
Yeah.
Whereby with Clayview, you know, you are paying a monthly service for what we do.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, if you look at, you know, the conversion that you're going to be getting from that and the return on investment, it really outweighs the cost of the solution.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've always seen these types of tools, and I might just pull this a little bit.
No worries.
This way. Yeah, I've always seen these tools. At the end of the day, when I talk to, you know, e-com managers or marketing managers, the first thing that they ask is like, what's the ROI, right? Because people are happy to invest in these types of tools, but then what are they going to get from it, right? And I think you guys are in a specific spot where it's much easier to justify the return on investment, right? Because, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know very little about e-commerce, but if somebody... I tend to see e-commerce broken into two places. Those that do less than $1 million and then those that do more than $1 million a year, right? And if you go more than a million or to break that million and a half mark, you can't just rest on your laurels and rely on the stuff that's gotten you to that point. You need to start investing in additional tools like these. But relate that back to a retail environment, you may be able to run a store yourself and, you know, have you and your husband doing it up to a certain point. You can only do that much before you start investing in, okay, we need a staff member, right? To come, you do training, you do that, all that. And you can start seeing the ROI because the smarter that they're getting about your products, the more people you can serve. So, and the better recommendations they can actually make for, like you said, upsells and stuff. Like maybe you came in for this one here, but you actually, you know, you should be buying this. And then you've got those brands that are really looking to break through that, say $1.5 million barrier. And more often than not, it is the experience that you're giving to the clients. They, if you give them too much control, you're letting them dictate the outcome. Whereas I think with a search, merchandising, getting people to find your products as easy as possible, you're kind of coercing them towards that checkout. And making sure that they've got what they're looking for and they found it as fast as possible. Because we know how frustrating it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another thing to mention here as well is like on the lines we're talking around, you know, I was speaking to one of my clients that came on board recently and they were heavily investing in their marketing function. So a lot of their budgets that they had for the year were into the marketing aspect of bringing people to site.
Like top of funnel.
Yeah. So, but what we, when we had a conversation around this and, you know, their budgets that they had in place and also, you know, wanting to pay for a solution like Clayview, essentially, they took a small amount from that marketing budget, they pumped it into Clayview, and what they were doing is they were spending a lot of money on marketing, but they weren't thinking about the user experience when someone gets to site.
I see that all the time.
Yeah. So now from, you know, taking a small hit of the budget from the marketing aspect and bringing people to the site, they've put that into having the customer experience better on site with using Clayview, and that way they've seen actually a dramatic uplift as well. So little bits sense. In different areas you can think about it, especially from like a budgeting aspect.
Yeah, I think it's really important to balance it out. A lot of people think, oh, I just need to get traffic to my website. My website's going to do it for them, right? Whereas, no, you need to actually invest in the tools inside the website. Because if you're paying expensive, we know ROAS is through the roof, right? So if you're going to be part of that, playing in that sand pit, you need to make sure that you, as many people are converting as what you can.
Yeah.
And more often than not, the biggest reason why people don't convert on your website is, sure, bad user experience, but the tools are so advanced and have evolved so much these days, you don't really, unless they're on WooCommerce, very rarely, I always have a dig at WooCommerce, but they very rarely have a bad user experience on Shopify, especially. So, what else is in your control? Ensuring that you've got that search really prominent, you're giving people alternative options, like if they're typing in, they're looking for a red dress, well, you've got, things that assimilate to red or other versions of red, burgundy, maroons, whatever it may be, giving people those alternatives. I think the first time I heard of Klaviyo, it was probably 2019 or something like that, I think. Mm-hmm. Again, I took a little bit of a hiatus from e-commerce, but I came back in 2019. Mm-hmm. But prior to me going away, I'd never even thought about this as a tool or the importance of it. And then, bringing it back to what you said at the start, you see all these people pumping money into ads to get traffic to their website, and it's like a bucket with heaps of holes in it, right?
Yeah.
And this just fixes it. And we've seen it with like one of our customers we have in common with Bargain Chemist. They used to work with another agency. The need was there for Klaviyo. They saw the value in it from a sales pitch point of view. But then you also need to have people who know how to set it up right.
Yep.
And I think you guys did an amazing job, to make sure that client felt special. Mm-hmm. I think in return, you guys got a decent agreement out of it, like a long-term one as well, because it's not just about, hey, here's a tool, and there's a lot of apps on Shopify that's like that, and they play in this sandpit of yours as well. It's like, oh, it's plug and play. Mm-hmm. Just go and just do it yourself. And then when you finally do it, you've got past all the beautiful marketing material. They're actually in the weeds trying to figure it out, and just it's near impossible. So
no, I think you're absolutely right around the plug and play. It's a big buzzword, I suppose, as well.
There is no such thing as plug and play.
Yeah. if you want it out of the box, everything plain and vanilla, I think that's why credibility throughout, any, sales cycle and, talking to prospects and understand the requirements and setting them expectations. Because at the end of the day, if you're bringing them on board and you're smoking mirrors and saying plug and play and, it's really easy to set up, etc. And then they get on board, they're not going to be happy. So,
frustrated. I think it was almost with their previous agency, I think it was almost, I can't remember if it was 6 months, close to a year, just didn't utilize it. They're paying that money every single month for it. It's wild. Yeah. Anyway, not too much specifically about that. Okay, let's bring it right back. So every Shopify store's got search, right? And Shopify has the search and discovery app, right? Mm-hmm. So why would I need Klaviyo?
Yeah, it's a great question. So essentially, what I do here as well within the market a lot, if we look at Shopify, we've got these types of tools already on Shopify. If we look at search, for example, with Shopify, it's keyword matching.
Yeah.
There's no intelligent algorithm like Klaviyo. There's no personalization aspect. There's not much control within the user interface when we're looking at pulling through tags and meta fields, creating rules around these.
Yep.
For example, if a merchant wants to play around and merchandise and pull through different tags, maybe they want to push their higher margin products to the top and put their lower margin ones to the bottom, for example.
Yeah.
These different types of scenarios, you haven't got the capability to do so. Also, if we look at it from an analytical perspective as well and seeing, how people are searching, where areas are they searching, where are them users coming from, where are they based, what aren't people finding, why aren't they finding that, what are our best keywords, how are they performing? All of these different little attributes can help. But then also from a category merchandising standpoint, I think what we can do as well, especially if we're looking at analytical perspective, we can have a look at all the categories are performing, the products within the categories, the products across multiple categories for merchandising teams to have real insights into how they can better their merchandising strategies. But then we've also got A/B testing. So if they wanted to do A/B testing with their category pages, they could also have the ability to do that. Nice. Maybe there's two people in the merchandising team that I want to do this. Well, let's see what works better.
Yeah. Put them against each other. Yeah, exactly.
All the way through to, say, for example, you know, when they're curating their category pages, you know, fashion clients of mine as well, some pretty big names.
Name drop, feel free if you want to, or if you're allowed to, by all means.
No, so, you know, if we look at like a high fashion brand, for example, what we're seeing as well is that if they're creating their pages with just the basic Shopify outlay, there's no intelligent learning behind that, no personalization. And also it doesn't work in conjunction with filtering. So their merchandising teams have no real-time data to look into to be able to merchandise correctly. But then also as well, when they do merchandise, all of that merchandising strategy goes out the window when users start to interact with the filtering aspect, for example. Whereby with Klaviyo, you can create your pages. You can then also you rule-based merchandising around these, put, you know, different products and different strategies in place. You can have the ability to, you know, start to pin products, put them at the top. Maybe you want to exclude products, for example. And also then we work in conjunction with the filtering aspect. So you can then start to choose where you want your filters to be. And then that works in conjunction with that algorithm as well. So
amazing.
It's a very, very smart solution.
Yeah.
And yeah, it completely outweighs, you know, what you'd get from a native aspect.
Yeah.
And I think another thing here to mention as well, obviously for the users listening too, you know, if you're creating your pages and you're having to go into each individual category every time to then create and create and create again, it's going to be spending you're going to be spending a considerable amount of time you could be putting in other places, whereby with Klaviyo, what you can actually do is start to schedule campaigns. You can actually start to copy different merchandising strategies to singular categories and also copy it across to multiple categories too.
Awesome. So you can almost like duplicate a strategy that you did for here and apply that to another category of products that you have on your site.
Amazing. Rather than having to do it individually.
Because that from the ground up just takes so long. If you did that in Shopify, go and create a collection, add the products to the collection. Like you've got to manually go and order them. Like if you want to have had them appear in a certain way on the on the page. And yeah, if you've got 1,000 SKUs or 10,000 SKUs, like it becomes a real problem quick.
Or a million.
or a million, exactly. What is, just out of interest, what is the largest catalog that you've seen out there?
2 million.
2 million?
Yeah.
Wow, you definitely need this app.
Yeah, no problem with that as well, by the way.
But
yeah, I think if we're looking at a native aspect, you know, Klaviyo outweighs all capabilities that you can get from native.
Yeah,
and definitely. Also another thing that I tend to hear is, you know, out of stock products, all of that gets controlled automatically, which isn't good for user experience if out of stock products within categories, you know, next to products that are in stock.
That makes so much sense. Annoying when you get to a website and you search for something, you end up on a collection page and like the three out of the top 10 there is like out of stock. It's like, why are you showing me out of stock stuff? If you can't even pre-order, I can understand if you can pre-order it and it's still a priority, but if you can't even pre-order it, like why are you showing it to me? So just put a use case for those people who are completely unfamiliar with it. Like what Alex just mentioned before and what we were just talking about. If someone comes through and they do a search, let's use red dresses as an example again. They hit a collection page with red dresses on it. They can then obviously change their pricing to fit their budget. If you have different variations of red, you can select the exact kind of one that you want, the size, all that type of stuff. But then what Klaviyo does is doesn't just actually show them those products. You then have the ability to place priority on those products. So you might want to move some clearance items to the top. Have some lower stock items more down the bottom of that collection page. So just in case you were a little bit lost there. Well, that's really cool. So, you know, people have paid a shit ton of money for traffic to come through to the website. They've now got a tool that allows people to actually find what they're looking for really fast. Personalization is kind of the next thing from there, like curated responses, curated things that happen on PDP pages. It's a bit of a buzzword right now. How do you guys facilitate that buzzword, for lack of a better word?
You know what? I really love this question.
Yeah.
Just due to the capabilities that Klaviyo has. So you're right. Personalization is a buzzword. It gets used a lot and thrown around a lot. But
on this podcast, probably 1,000 times now, probably something really? Like that. Personalized, because anything, right? Any tool, when it comes to your website, your email marketing, any other stuff you do, personalization is so important. Whereas I think there was a sweet spot of time mm-hmm. with Facebook, mm-hmm. when it was still called Facebook, where people could just throw $1,000 at a defined audience and just get all this traffic coming through to the website. And they didn't even have to do the hard yards, right? Now, it's so much harder to get that audience. Mm-hmm. So when you're getting that traffic, you got to make sure that you're serving up what it is that they're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, so when we look at personalization with Clayview, it's key to note that, you know, there's a lot of other people that mention that they do have personalization, but what they actually do have is collaborative. So if Alice likes a certain product and Jane likes this certain product, they're similar. So let's show Alice and Jane similar products that they're both clicking on because they might like the same products.
Okay.
Whereby with Clayview, what we actually have is one-to-one personalization. So that one-to-one personalization is actually picking up on that individual user after 3 clicks. And then what we'll do is take the information underneath that product ID, and then we can start to actually show products on that one-to-one basis of what they'll actually be interested in. And that's throughout the search, the category-led journey, or collection-led journey for the Shopify listeners, of course.
Sure.
I do get mixed up with that sometimes.
That's okay. You guys are not just Shopify. You guys facilitate all sorts, right?
Yeah.
So if you are on the Magentos and the big commerces, this is for you.
All the way through to recommendations as well. So personalization is a buzzword, but also as well, personalization isn't going to work for all businesses, I don't think. I think personalization really depends on, you know, what the business is, what vertical that you're working with.
Yep.
You know, so if we look at, say, for example, like a pet store, you know, people aren't changing their pets every week.
No.
So when people come back to that pet store, they're going to be seeing products that are visible to them on the basis of their pet that they're shopping on, for example.
Yeah.
Even like if we look at like pharmaceutical skincare, for example, people have different types of skincare that they need. They have different types of moisturizers because of conditions, et cetera. Mm. So all of that information is collected within that personalization aspect. So when that user goes back to site, they're actually going to be seeing the products that are good for them and what they need. Yeah.
Amazing. Now, how do you guys, obviously you're collecting a lot of data there, right? Mm-hmm. Which I see huge advantages in. You guys integrate with any of the sort of more outbound tools that are out there to then assist with that segmentation?
Yeah, absolutely. So a really exciting news is that we've just actually released the second phase of our plugin with Klaviyo.
Oh, nice.
So from that search aspect, we're picking up on what the users are querying, what they're clicking on, and we can then also put that within Klaviyo for them, you know, email campaigns, for example.
Cool.
Of course, SMS as well. But then also on the top of that, what we actually have now and what we've introduced is recommendation segmentation, utilizing and harnessing the power of Klaviyo segments.
Okay.
So within our user interface, they actually have the ability to go on there, create a specific type of recommendations, potentially maybe to put, you know, up to, you know, if you wanted to put 5 segments or 4 segments, and then harnessing those, that segmentation, creating recommendations around them, putting them on site, and then also having the ability to be able to do campaigns on them as well. From like an email marketing perspective.
I love that. I always mention this. Well, I've mentioned it a few times, but Culture Kings always gets me. Mm-hmm. They know I buy Stussy gear. Mm-hmm. And when that drop happens, the email that hits me is just all Stussy, mate. And then 5 minutes later, I've parted with another $350 because all this other additional personalization that they do when I then finally hit the website as well, it's just so powerful.
Yeah, Stussy's actually one of our clients.
Amazing. Yeah. They're an Aussie company, I believe. Like an Aussie brand. I think they are.
Yeah, so they're mainly on the, you know, if we look at it from that skater surfer vibe. Actually, I think it's maybe based out of California.
Oh, maybe. Right? Oh, yeah, I might have that one wrong. I think it's the Billabongs, Rip Curls, Quicksilvers. They're the Aussie ones.
Exactly.
For some reason, I thought Stussy was as well, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think a lot of people within New Zealand and also Australia wear Stussy for that skater kind of surf.
It's one of my favorite brands. I don't surf. I don't skate. I just love Stussy gear. Really good quality.
Yeah.
And their hoodies are just out of this world.
Yeah.
And I love the designs that they put on stuff. They're just different, you know, and you don't see a lot of people. There's not, they do these limited drops, so you don't see hundreds of people wearing the same thing, you know. Every now and then you might see someone who has something, you're like, whoa, that's pretty out there.
And every time you see someone else wearing Stussy as well, it's like,
I get snapped sometimes because I catch myself when I'm out and I'm like, oh, you've got a Stussy hat. Stussy top, and underneath the Stussy top, you've got a Stussy like shirt on. Like, come on, bro, just one, you know, like you're it's a fashion crime. Oh, that's funny. No, me and my partner both. How did I get there? Yeah, so the marketing, obviously, segmentation, you know, like if I've never bought a particular product X from you, and I've always bought Stussy, like, don't send me the product X stuff, you know, send me the stuff that you know I'm going to come back for. Exactly. So, that's great to hear. Klaviyo, massive friends of ours, also sponsors of the podcast. Yeah. So awesome. We've got a recording with them next week. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, I think for those merchants that are out there listening to this and it's not kind of really clicking home, in the description down below, we will definitely put a link to Klaviyo. I'd encourage you to go and have a look at it. We might actually grab a few of your customer links as well, because I know people want to sort of just go and trial out some stores. So we'll chuck Bargain Chemist down there, and we'll chuck a few other ones that I'll grab off you after this. Anything else from a personalization point of view that you think the audience would resonate with?
You know, from personalization, I suppose, like for the listeners, you know, I think it's more just understanding your client base, also looking at the returning customers who are coming back to site, weighing up your Google Analytics to that too. So you know, okay, we're getting a lot of customers coming back to site, and then understanding the user experience from a personalization aspect on the basis of that. Because if we talk about customer experience and how do we retain them customers,
that's important.
Yeah, exactly. Huge. So it all comes down to things like personalization, having a good user experience from people being able to find products that they're looking for. I suppose that's probably like my last little point on that.
And talking about, I mean, customer retention is really important. I think it costs you like 6 times less to sell to someone you've already sold to in the past than it does to go and find someone new. And I think that's probably a little bit old now as well. But I mean, retention is super important. Anyway, sorry. So yeah, the customer journey, it obviously doesn't end with acquisition. We just touched on some retention stuff, which is equally, if not more important. But I mean, how can businesses use optimized search functionalities to attract customers, but then post-acquisition encourage loyalty and repeat customers?
Yeah, it's a great question. So
it's a loaded one.
It's a loaded one, yeah. So where do
Freya wrote that one down for me.
So I think with that, you know, when someone's coming to your site, you know, what potentially the customers are going to be doing, if they're coming to your site and you haven't got a sophisticated search like Klaviyo, they're going to be searching for different types of items and different more complex querying. They're not going to be able to find what they're looking for. They're going to bounce and then go to another site. So they'll potentially go to a competitor. And if you go to a competitor and they have a better user experience, that's how they're going to retain that customer.
Especially if you're selling a product that is available in another store, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well. Mm. Yeah. Mm. And then with that, from the user experience standpoint, and they're coming on site and they're having a good user experience, they're more likely to convert. And then once they convert and have that experience, they're more likely to come back to your website as well, right?
Yeah.
And I also like a little tip and trick out there. A tip and trick is...
It works for me.
Yeah, so what you can actually do, and you know, from having such a great customer success team on our side, what we tend to see, especially if you are using a search like Klaviyo, is that if you haven't previously, you're probably going to be putting on like a mobile experience, hiding that search aspect, so people have to maybe take 2 or 3 clicks to be able to get into that.
Yeah.
If you do have a sophisticated search like Klaviyo, I think what the key thing is here, and what we see from an uplift perspective from our clients doing this, it's just changing that design on the mobile aspect and also on the main website too for desktop, and having that search bar more prominent.
Yeah, 100%.
One click to the search bar. And especially if you're on mobile, because I don't know how you shop, but when I'm on mobile, I search because going for category pages.
I never buy anything on my laptop.
Yeah, exactly.
This is work. When I get home, I'm done with this, right? Yeah, everything's on mobile. Yeah.
So I think, you know, if you are out there and you know, our users using a sophisticated search. I think it's good to harness that and make sure that you are making that search bar more prominent of all aspects. And I can swear to you, you'll see a higher conversion and more of an uplift through that search aspect. That's a little tip there.
And if you're not certain, you can always do like an A/B test, right? Trial it out. That's absolutely the best thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if a lot of your competitors have A/B testing built in, but regardless, it's something that's going to be very valuable. So I'm an e-com manager. I'm out there. I'm currently using Product X for my search and merchandising. like, how do I obviously I know how to find you, but what do you guys sort of offer from a onboarding point of view, or like, who should they be talking to? What is that experience like for someone who maybe, let's talk about both, uses one at the moment and then, or uses a search and discovery tool that they're not happy with, or has been thinking about it, tried the little plug and play ones, and it's not quite doing what they want. What can they expect when they come to Klaviyo?
Yeah, so from, you mean from more of a...
like for your customer acquisition. So if a customer comes and they say, cool, I want to go see what Klaviyo's like, obviously they can jump on your website.
Yeah.
Okay. But then, you know, this probably, they could probably get a demo, but what can they expect when they sort of commit to you guys, this sort of onboarding you guys do as the account management?
Absolutely. So yeah, there's two aspects to this. So I think it's also good to mention here, what's big for me and, you know, what I'm doing on bringing customers on board is that credibility is the biggest thing with any company that you're going to be working with. And you want to make sure they're credible and they're understanding your requirements throughout that process. So a big thing for me is essentially putting through a requirements document, making sure I'm understanding all of their needs. And from that requirement document, when they come on board and we've ticked all of them boxes, what I will do is then we'll have a call with my customer success team and onboarding team. And then we also attach an SA to that as well, who'll be working alongside onboarding. And then from that, what we will then tend to do is schedule meetings to make sure that we go over all of their requirements, what they're looking to do, and how we can get to that place where they actually want to be. And we're there for, you know, you to, we're there throughout the whole of the process to make sure that that client is happy and they get up and board and up to speed correctly. And then after you've gone through the onboarding process, which I've seen, especially from being over here, a lot of people call it a white glove implementation.
We won't mention the name.
I don't think, you know, what does white glove even mean, for one?
It sounds like something I don't want near me. I think I'm going to visit the doctor.
But it's like, you can, I just hate them type of buzzwords. I think you actually need to explain what they're going to be getting, right? Essentially it is, you know, if you want to put it in that term, it is like a white glove implementation, onboarding experience, but
buzzword for you.
Nice little buzzword there. But you know, when they do come on board, they also get a customer success manager. And this is where it gets really important. And this is where it gets big for me, is that customer experience when they're on board with us and making sure that they're getting what they need and getting the right, I suppose, the right, lost my train.
Like assistance to actually make the most out of the tool. Because I think there's a lot of people in the e-com space that is kind of like, they want to move away from agencies. They want all the control back. Give us all the control back. And all of a sudden you give them all the control and they have no freaking idea how to use any of the tools. They have never used it before. And then they end up paying for something which they just can't harness the most out of. So I think where you're going with that is, I mean, I've spoken to one of your customer success managers based out of the US, and that's where I see the main value. You know, like, the tool is cool and it does all these things, but like, how do I maximize it? Okay, cool. Now I've gone from 1.5 mil. I'm doing 2.5 now, but I want more and I'm running out of ideas. So
Lost my train of thought. That's there. Cool. Probably needed another coffee on a Friday afternoon.
I offered you a Red Bull.
Should have definitely taken you up on that. But yeah, when it comes to the customer success aspect, what we're going to be doing is holding monthly calls with you, making sure that you're up to speed and you know what you're doing, looking into different details of what you can do, be doing better. But also what we do is we do a quarterly business review. And on them quarterly business reviews, we'll be tracking and looking at all of the data and how Klaviyo is performing. Also looking at that Google Analytics aspect, going over through market trends and what you can actually do better, and giving you examples of that as well, especially with what other retailers are doing within the market. And then also, you know, taking in all them analytics and showing you improving the return on investment that you're also getting with Klaviyo as well.
Nice. Speaking of, is there sort of a sweet spot of customers, or like a, whether it be a customer type or whether it be sort of where a customer is at in their e-commerce lifetime, that sort of is a sweet spot for you guys, where it's kind of like, Klaviyo is a natural fit for you and you should be getting a tool like this?
I think the great thing with Klaviyo is that we're scalable. So even though you might not think that you're ready for a solution like ours, you'd be very surprised. I think
you also sort of product, like, it's productized as well. So if you just wanted, say, like, product recommendations, like, you could just get that.
Oh, so that's a great question. So actually, it all starts from that smart search.
From smart search,
you can then bundle and say select recommendations or category merchandising.
Perfect. Yeah.
But yeah, from a scalability standpoint and vertical standpoint, you know, we can work with absolutely everyone. And you can also scale with us as a business. So if you are out there and you are thinking maybe I'm a bit too small for a solution like this, it can be a lot to take in. Honestly, you know, even if it's not looking at Klaviyo, you have to do your market research and see what's out there.
Absolutely.
And I would say, just for educational purposes, definitely have a look what's on the market and, you know, how solutions like ours can help.
Oh, 100%. And I think, yeah, make sure you dive deep. Don't make, I always say to people when they get to this sort of level, don't make decisions based on what you see on a website, because this weekend I could go home and make a website that has all the buzzwords that we, you know, sort of mentioned. Book a demo. Like,
yeah.
If you think this is good for you, book a demo, do your research, figure out, you've obviously probably already figured out that you need something like this, or you've stumbled on this because you searched for Klaviyo and I don't know, you found a YouTube video with this chat on it. Hope you found any value out of it. I see you guys also with talking about for you customer acquisition. You guys do like a free audit.
Yeah.
What do people get out of that?
Yeah, so the audit's just a breakdown of looking at the search area, looking at your collection pages, and also the recommendation aspect.
Yep.
We look at various different points of what you can improve and what you're not doing.
Yep.
Then we show you the areas you can actually improve in, which is great. Because
it's amazing to give that like for free. Sorry to mention, but I'll come back to it in a second.
No.
Interrupted you.
You know, it's all good. Yeah, it's. I think what the main thing for me and why I like the audit is that I think it's really crucial for a business to come to a solution like Klaviyo when they're going through a discovery phase. And I would advise every business to sit down and look at all aspects of the current search setup, your collection pages, and also the recommendation. Have a really good think with your team about what pain points you have and what you want to improve. Put them requirements in a document and then also come to a call looking at a solution like Klaviyo with all of them requirements there.
Yeah.
And then what will help is that, you know, we, on my sales professionals, for example, will give details of how we can help with all these different aspects. And I think why I love the audit so much, it just gives the ability for retailers to actually have an idea of potentially where they're going wrong if they have missed anything.
Yeah.
And it can work in conjunction and they can maybe come up with some more requirements from looking at them differently.
They're going to be better off after that chat than they were before it,
which
we see a lot as well. And like, that's why I know a lot of agencies tend to charge quite hefty amounts sometimes for discovery, right? And I feel like it's so critical. I think in our industry, bringing it back to people like replatforming and stuff, we tend to do like RFPs, which is a waste of time in today's world. But anyway, we do RFPs and then they go into a discovery after selecting them. And it's like, wait a minute, shouldn't the discovery be done right up front? So we don't charge for scoping. Do that all up front. Get it out of the way. And I always say to people, it's free of charge because I'm not going to invoice you. Once you're a customer, there's budgets that need to be talked about and tapped into. But you're going to be better off just having a chat, like pick up the phone, book, like, you know, flick me an email, whatever it is. You're going to be better off after having this conversation. And more often than not, people in the industry like you and me, that's the type of stuff that actually gives us a bit of a buzz as well. You know, you're like, man, I've actually helped these people today.
Yeah.
They may not even become a customer. And that's not good for me from a work point of view. But tonight when you go to bed, you're like, man, that was great. You know, I had this great chat with these people and they're better off today. So
yeah, I'd much rather than, you know, come and do that. And, you know, if they don't come on board with Klaviyo or they've got other commitments in different areas, I'm just happy that they've actually understood. And, you know, at a later date, when they do want to come back, you know, they've got all information they need and they're ready, right?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Well, guys, if you've got any questions for us, down in the comment section, hit us up. We'll have links to Klaviyo's website. We'll have links to a couple of example websites where Klaviyo is actually in action. Encourage you guys to jump on there, use the search from there, navigate your way through the site and sort of see all the places where you see personalization happening, and then relate that back to how you can help your business. It's been really informative today. Obviously, it's interesting having a chat because I'm actually, other than what I said earlier, I'm actually very familiar with the tool. And so trying to sort of ask dumb questions, but I think you did a really good job. Anything else you want to let the listeners know? Any new functionalities coming up? We always probe for like new functionalities. No, like awesome. What's on the horizon for Klaviyo?
Yeah. So as I've mentioned previously, we have that Klaviyo
Integration
and also with that segmentation that we've just brought out actually last week. Nice. But also as well, what we've recently released is Clayview Moi, which is a Clayview chat bot within the actual search area, leveraging ChatGPT.
Nice.
So what that means is that if your customers are on the search area, they have the ability to open a chat bot within the search, and they can make more conversational querying around asking certain questions. And being able to find products, say, for example, if they're, you know, looking for a certain pair of jeans and, you know, different price points, they can, of course, look through the search aspect and find that. But if they have more conversational queries and want answers to questions, that's where they can utilize that. And it's very powerful, and it's a really big thing for us at the minute.
Amazing. Glad Leo's not here. He would have held you for another 30 minutes talking about AI. That's amazing. Yeah, introducing Moi, ChatGPT for search and product discovery. It's fascinating how this is impacting and just like integrating into everything we're doing today. Yeah. Like, it's kind of scary, some of it, but it's actually making a lot of people's lives a lot easier. So
yeah,
there's definite benefits.
I think it's key to mention, like, just like a final note with Clayview, and, you know, when you're asking me about new feature sets and functionality, is that we're actually a product-led business. We're not sales-led. So for us, the product comes first.
Nice.
And that's why we're always leveraging and adding additional aspects to the solution. And that's why I've been with the company for so long.
Awesome.
Because
you're not getting outdated versions, like all of that new functionality becomes available throughout the entire, like, all your customers out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
love it. Yeah, no, that's where you're supposed to be. That's why I give WooCom like so much crap for other ones, because you always got to apply these updates.
Hey, we've got to have a little bit of banter, right?
No, exactly. Yeah. Man, it's been awesome.
Yeah, it's
nice
been
to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us on the couch here today. While you guys are leaving us comments down there, hit the like button, subscribe, do everything else that you should be doing, and we'll see you next week.
Awesome.
See ya.